Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to another edition of Family Answer Man. Today is Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 o'clock on the East Coast. Today we're going to have a little bit of a serious topic, although a lot of them have been, I guess. But we're going to be talking about cyberbullying. So if that's something that you have questions about or would like to contribute to the conversation, you're welcome to call the show at 855-279-3758. Once again, 855-279-3758. You will also be able to listen to the show at a later date, later today, tomorrow, whenever, by going to the website, familyanswerman.com. Once again, familyanswerman.com. So if you have friends, or maybe you have, or you know teens who are dealing with this, or you know of adults who have kids who might be dealing with this struggle, cyberbullying, you can refer them to the website, familyanswerman.com, where they can listen to the show and maybe get some help from there and some resources to resolve this before it becomes extremely serious. Let's see, this show airs Thursdays at 11 a.m. and it will eventually air again on Mondays once scheduling works out to be able to do that. Let's see here. You can... trying to figure everything I need to mention here. Oh, need to always mention before every show that this show is for educational purposes and not designed to take the place of psychotherapy. If you need therapy, you need to go seek it out directly and not assume that the show represents that. I have to say that because I'm a licensed family therapist. I've been in practice for 22 years and have addressed issues related to cyberbullying and other things for a long time, do parenting workshops and couples workshops, and also work with teenagers who are struggling with life issues, from minor things all the way to those in juvenile hall. So if you're interested in getting more information about the show, about myself, you can go to familyanswerman.com to get more information there. Once again, you call the show if you'd like to at 855-279-3758. Okay, so I want to talk a bit about cyberbullying today. Some of the statistics are pretty overwhelming. Some research that has recently been done of teenagers. And what it turned out is, you know, most people think cyberbullying, you hear a story on the radio or TV, you read something about a child who harms themselves or acts out and does something in result of cyberbullying, think, well, gee, that's, you know, that's a 1 in 1,000 kid or 1 in 100 maybe or something. But the reality is 50% kids questioned said that they had been the victim of cyberbullying. 50%. So if you have 4 kids at home, chances are 2 of your kids either have or will be victim of cyberbullying. Another 50% admitted to cyberbullying. Now, I don't know if this was the same 50 or partially, or if there's some overlap, which there may very well have been. So it's extremely prevalent. One thing that's even more discouraging to me when I hear that is that these same kids say that half of these kids have never reported this to their parents or to any other authority. Half of them. So what does that tell us as far as our relationship with our kids and the comfort level that our children have with speaking to us? That's something I'm going to get into a little bit in a couple of minutes here. But when you consider that such a serious issue and only half of them have ever spoken to their parents about it, so 25% of the population who gets cyberbullied never ever speak to their 25% of all kids get cyberbullied and never tell their parents about it. What is cyberbullying? Basically, it's teasing, persecuting, threatening of minors. Usually takes place via cell phone, chat room, Facebook, Twitter, internet, other kinds of social media venues, which basically you'd be hard-pressed to find a teen or a preteen who is not involved in one of those kinds of things, either has their own cell phone or Facebook page or such like that. Another interesting thing to consider is it's very similar to bullying. In the old days, we used to think about bullying when you're in school. For those of you closer to my generation, bullying took place in school. You had a kid who threatening to beat you up or something like that. In that, for those who are victims of cyberbullying, often repeat victims. So it's not like a one-time thing. It's like you sort of get labeled. Once you get bullied, and if your kid thinks, okay, I was bullied, it won't happen again, the chances of it happening again are extremely high. Not unlike, say, kids in school who get bullied. There are certain ones who just get bullied all the time. Something about their personality, something, the way they come across. So to think that this is only a one-time occasion and won't happen is, you know, sort of fooling yourself in a bit, I guess you could say. What are some of the implications? What are some of the things that happen when a person, as a result of a person being cyberbullied? People tend to go different directions. Some tend to go in the area of revenge. They think, how can I begin to retaliate? Others go into depression, very deep depression. There are some who go all the way to the point of attempting or even committing suicide. I mean, I have worked with families who have children who have committed suicide over things like a boyfriend or girlfriend breaking up with them. And as adults, we look and we think, well, gosh, I had a girl break up with me or a boy break up with me when I was a teenager. No big deal. You know, who cares? But as a child, as a minor, you know, when something like that happens, it's so traumatic. And that's what we don't often realize is the way a teenager or a child sees things is significantly different than we see it ourselves. So you have that. But then you also have the teens who are sort of like a pressure cooker. Some of you may not know what that is, but hopefully a lot of you do, where over time it just builds and builds and builds and builds until they end up exploding. And you see some of that. Once in a while you'll see, we read about these horrific things that happened at schools or other locations, and you find, well, about the kids who did these terrible things, whether they're killing other kids or doing terrible things, like, well, they were often bullied as kids. You know, they were taken advantage of, they were treated a certain way and such like that. So it's sort of an accumulation. It just builds up inside of them. So that's why it's so important on both ends to be able to do something, to recognize, to get help, to so it doesn't lead to the part of a child attempting or committing suicide or going out and seeking and hurting other people as a way of retaliation. Like I say, understanding that teens see the world so differently, and that's why primarily it's an issue with teens, because adults, you know, if somebody says something we don't like, well, we can just kick them off our Facebook page. We don't have to, it doesn't mean, it's not that big of a deal. Our world is so much bigger. You know, for a teenager, if you think about it, their world primarily, to a large extent, consists of their high school. I mean, their whole world revolves around their high school, you know, at that age range. So if there's bullying going on there, then basically they're experiencing bullying from their whole world, okay? And then they have us, the parents, the adults. So we're the ones who are supposed to be there and help them with this. But if they can't talk to us, if they're not comfortable talking about what's hurting them, the fears that they have and things like that, they're going to have no one to go to. They're not going to go to, you know, their counselor at school or something like that. And the reality is, if we're not able to speak to our kids about daily activities, things that are going on in their life, just basic, simple things, if they're not comfortable or we're not comfortable or we haven't established that relationship with them, those communication skills, then how in the world do we expect them to come to us when there are serious things happening? We have to first be able to develop a basic foundation of communication with our kids and a trust and a respect so that then when significant problems occur, they're comfortable coming to us. So don't expect that they're going to suddenly come to us when we haven't been available for years or something like that to them. Now, there's a lot of books, and seminars, and tapes, and CDs, and all these things that can teach you communication skills, improving them, and such like that. I wrote a book, which a lot of you are aware of, entitled Respect Your Children, that I use a lot when I do workshops on parenting and helping. And the primary focus is improving communication, is demonstrating respect for your kids, not giving authority to your children as power, like respect your children, like I have to do what they say, but seeing them as a person, taking the time to put down what you're doing and listen what they're saying, giving them the attention as a person, not as an object, not they're my property because they're my child. So a book that I wrote, Respect Your Children, was with that in mind, was with improving communication, developing a relationship with your children that would last a lifetime, that would allow you to be there and help them and guide them through some of the struggles that we all go through junior high school, even elementary school even, and definitely in high school and moving on to adulthood, to develop that relationship. So, you know, that's something very important. So even if your child is not experiencing those problems now as far as cyberbullying, to take the time now to actually go out and learn how to be a parent who communicates successfully with their children, who's able to work through problems together, to demonstrate respect in those things. And if you want more information about my book, for example, you go to my website, Family Answer Man. There's a link there to the book, Respect Your Children, which you can pick up, I think, at Amazon or some other locations and things like that. Or you can contact the office directly anytime if you want more information about workshops or direct counseling at office numbers 951-272-8304. Once again, 951-272-8304. From Family Answer Man, you can also, there's a link there that you can write me questions directly that I will respond. I try to respond to all the comments and questions I get, whether it's a suggestion for a topic for another show or just simply a question about cyberbullying, a question about another issue we've talked about in the past. We talked about sexting, about internet predators and things like that. If you have questions, feel free to contact the show and write me about that. And I, like I say, try to respond to all of the comments and questions that I get. Let's talk about some of the warning signs of cyberbullying. Like, okay, well, so how do I know if this is going on with my kids? Well, here are some of the signs to look for. Now, these are signs that can also represent other problems, but they are consistent with cyberbullying. But if you see these, this tells you this is a red flag. There's something going on. One, they're nervous about your kids suddenly become nervous about receiving emails or texts. So in the past, they would get texts and just reply, no big deal, and suddenly they're a little bit more uncertain about taking a look at what's written on there. You notice that, those emails or those texts that they get. Okay, that's an indication there's something going on. Another, sudden lack of interest in using the computer or other electronic, where they always wanted to use a computer and such, and now suddenly they're not too interested. Next, displaying anger or becoming withdrawn from about using the computer. Another one, talking about revenge. Now that's the one extreme we talked about where kids who go that other direction of it just builds and builds and builds in that pressure cooker where they're going to retaliate. Next, children who will immediately exit the computer as soon as the parent walks by. Another one, unusual mood swings. Changes in eating behavior or sleeping habits or nightmares. Now, of course, this could be something that's consistent with depression. It had nothing to do with cyberbullying. But once again, depression's a red flag. So these are things that you want to seek out as far as help and such like that. Another, complaint about not feeling well. Headaches, upset stomach, lack of self-esteem. Next, lack of interest in schoolwork or failing grades. Also, children start talking about suicide or self-mutilation. You know, it's very common kids who were struggling with different things that cut on themselves. And his parents were like, I don't understand that at all, but that's the way that often the kids do express themselves. Becoming withdrawn, antisocial behavior. One of the things that's very important, if we do become aware, now some specific things, what can you do? What can I do if I know that, okay, my child has come to me and this is going on and they are reporting to me that this is happening? One, don't delete any of the messages, okay? Now this is just some basic information on how to proceed, how to handle these things. So make sure all those are saved. Next, report this incident to both the school and local authorities, because this is illegal. This can be prosecuted. Okay, these kinds of things. And finally, do not reply. Encourage your children, do not reply to any of these texts or messages or anything like that, because nothing good will come from them replying to these things. So the thing, I guess, there's so many things that affect and make life more difficult, you know, for kids today. There's so much technology and so many things they have access to that we maybe never did, as far as all the great things that come from the internet, texting, Facebook, all those things and opportunities. But there's a lot of bad things out there. And unless we make our children aware, unless we talk to them and we tell them, this is out there. Cyberbullying is there. And you know what? If it happens to you, you're not alone. Because half the kids who were questioned one time, who had took a survey, half of them reported they were victims. Letting your kids know that alone creates a sense of okay, I'm not the only one. I can feel more comfortable talking about that. But we as parents, so often we don't find out until something really bad happens. And that's why I'm telling you to be proactive, to begin to learn how to develop that relationship with your kids. It's a lot easier when they're 4 years old and all they want to do is have your attention constantly and tell you every single thing they're doing. And they're driving you crazy because you don't care that they drew 19 pictures of the same thing or something like that. But as they start getting older and there's all those other outside influences, that goes away unless we as parents actively cultivate that. And that's why I encourage you to learn to successfully communicate, to interact with the children. And that's not something that comes natural. These are skills we have to learn. So seek out the resources that are out there. Once again, feel free to contact the show with any questions, familyanswerman.com. And look forward to responding and talking back again with you next week. Have a good day. This is Jay Fitter. Thank you very much.